This is a Sandler Training audiobook, produced and distributed by Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, in partnership with Sandler Training. Prospect, The Sandler Way, a 30-day program for mastering stress-free lead development, by John Rosso. Forward by David Matson. Narrated by Sean Pratt. We hope you enjoy this program. Forward. Many salespeople and a surprising number of sales managers believe that all the challenges that arise in the prospecting arena can be traced to problems with scripting. This is one of the most dangerous urban myths out there, unless we understand scripting to mean that which takes place between the ears of the salesperson. Prospect the Sandler Way faithfully represents the principles for success put forth by David H. Sandler, creator of the Sandler Selling System. Sandler taught, among other things, that the sales process is not the place for us to get our emotional needs met. Once you truly get that, just about anything is possible in terms of your prospecting routine and your overall financial success. It's been my privilege to work with John Rosso, who studied, as I did, directly under Mr. Sandler. I have seen firsthand how John has put the 30 principles laid out in this book into practical application in his own career and on behalf of his own training business. As he would be the first to acknowledge, what John has to share with you about prospecting the Sandler way has transformed not only his career, but also the careers of countless salespeople. The bottom line here is simple. Although they may take a little getting used to at first, these 30 principles work. You can prove as much in your own world by committing the next 30 days to practicing, implementing, and reinforcing the concepts you will encounter in this book. Your company will be glad you did, and so will you. David Matson, President and CEO, Sandler Systems, Inc. About this book. Prospect the Sandler Way outlines 30 core principles for mastering stress-free lead development by phone in accordance with the selling system developed by David H. Sandler. We've updated some of the techniques and made these 30 prospecting principles accessible and viable for 21st century sellers, but the core concepts are those of the Sandler selling system methodology. This book will be most effective for yourself and or your team if you listen and implement one principle per day over a period of 30 days. Let one principle sink in for a full 24 hours, and be sure to complete any activities connected with that principle before you try to master the next one. Introduction. Can this marriage be saved? Once upon a time, there was an extremely nervous man who showed up on the doorstep of a woman he had never met, or even seen, before. He'd heard good things about her, and decided it was time to get married. He knocked on the door briskly. She opened the door and saw a stranger with trembling hands and a clenched jaw. Summoning up all his courage, he introduced himself and asked her whether she would marry him, right then and there. Amused, she looked him over, paused for the briefest moment imaginable, said no, and closed the door. Dejected, he moved to the next house over, made his trembling way up the stairs, and, with his jaw still clenched, knocked on the next door. Supposedly there was a nice woman who lived there, too. Are you a hasty suitor? At Sandler Training, which I've had the honor of being part of for 20 years, we've worked with hundreds of thousands of salespeople. Most of them are not happy about taking on the responsibility of prospecting. At first, when many of them shared their feelings about prospecting, their behavior reflected something similar to that hasty suitor on the doorstep. I've even had salespeople tell me that they felt rejected, desperate, and humiliated whenever the dreaded time came for them to pick up the phone and call perfect strangers. This is before they dialed a number. Most default prospecting routines are choked with fear. Is yours? If so, get ready for some good news. This book takes a totally different approach to prospecting for professional salespeople, an approach that's far more effective than the nervous suitor approach, and a lot less scary. A proven system. In terms of identifying actual income opportunities, let's assume that you would prefer to use a system that has been proven to work over one that has not been proven to work. Let's assume that you would prefer to use a system that doesn't require you to abandon your self-respect over one that does. The approach you'll be listening about here has been tested and found to work in virtually every industry that employs salespeople. It comes with a catch, however. You must be willing to change what you've already gotten used to doing, or perhaps avoiding, when it comes to prospecting for new business. In other words, you must be willing to change the patterns you are used to. If you are used to materializing on people's doorsteps or telephones, with trembling hands and a clenched jaw, and then asking them to marry you on the spot, this book will challenge you to try something different and see how it works. Nice to meet you. Leave me alone. Selling is a lot like dating. A bad first date can leave both sides feeling wary and uncomfortable. As a consumer, we've all had salespeople call us up on the assumption that we would agree to meet them on the altar and say, "I do," within the first 5 minutes. If you stop to think about it, you'll realize that usually you don't respond well when someone called you up and said, in so many words, "Hi, when are we going to get married?" Stop and think for a moment. What was your response? Did you say, "Great idea, let's go make this happen"? Or perhaps you were more tempted to say something like, "Gee, I'm really busy right now," or "Send me some information," or "Call me back in 6 months." Let me be very clear. You don't have to get down on one knee in order to be a hasty suitor. In the prospecting sense, getting married could mean buying a product or service, or it could mean agreeing to a meeting or some other imminent commitment that moves the salesperson's process forward. Either way, when you heard that marriage proposal from someone who was scared and in a hurry, it's a good bet you weren't always ready to say yes. If this were a real first date, you not only wouldn't marry the person, you wouldn't want to see him or her ever again. You'd probably put the person on a stalker or do not call list. A better way to get the second date. Rest assured that there is a better way to get a second date. But to take advantage of it, we must be ready to challenge some misconceptions about selling. For one thing, we have to abandon the idea that memorizing the right words ahead of time and then saying those words verbatim during the first conversation will get us where we want to go. That is not what determines the quality of our initial discussions. Memorizing a few pickup lines is not what makes the difference in the world of dating, and it's not what makes the difference in the world of selling, either. You may as well know now that this is not a book about snappy sentences you memorize ahead of time. If you came here looking for scripts to simply copy and recite word for word, you won't find them here, and you wouldn't be any more effective if you did. I'll give you plenty of ideas for supporting stress-free dialogue during the call, but you will always be responsible for using these ideas to speak like a human being who's communicating with another human being, not like an android who's talking to another android. When we robotically stick to the script during prospecting discussions, when we ignore the underlying dynamics of the relationship, we are likely to find ourselves in the same category as that hapless suitor on the doorstep. We will be dismissed as clueless or arrogant or abrasive or disturbingly super sweet or wimpy, no matter what words we have memorized ahead of time. Why is that? It's because, script or no script, we're tense. And have you noticed that whenever we're tense, prospecting calls tend to go badly? This brings us to a key point. Success in prospecting is more about core principles than it is about memorizing certain words. So, that's the first key point. You will be learning lots of core principles in this book. It's not all that important that you memorize these principles and be able to recite them in order. What's more important is that you internalize them to the point that you get them. Once you get the core principle, you won't have to bother yourself about whether or not you've memorized anything. That's the way it is with a lot of things in life, and that's the way it is with prospecting. Consider focusing on getting one principle a day. Don't try to listen to this book in one sitting. It's okay if you master the prospecting principles one day at a time, and it's probably better that way. One more key point is in order here before we get started. Key point number two, when you hear prospecting here, we're going to assume that means talking to people, either over the telephone or by some other real-time vocal communication device. Of course, there are a lot of other communication activities we can take part in nowadays, activities that connect somehow to the task of generating revenue and that have nothing to do with talking to people out loud in real time. For example, texts, emails, and social media posts. There is nothing wrong with any of these activities, but until you connect with someone voice to voice, you're in the world of marketing rather than the world of selling. Marketing is great, but we are focusing on sales prospecting in this book. If you are a fan of social media and interactive communication tools, I think you will be interested to see how those tools can tie into the prospecting process, which is something covered a little later in the book. This book doesn't ask you to ignore the internet, LinkedIn, email, or any of the other great tools that are now at our disposal as professional salespeople, but it does ask you to think of them as a means to an end, which is a voice-to-voice discussion with a prospect. If you think you are ever going to reach a point in your sales career where you don't need to talk to people about what you do for a living, think again. There have been some amazing advances in recent years in the area of personal communication. But no matter how easy, informal, or accessible our communication becomes, we are still going to need to connect to potential buyers on a person-to-person level, and we are still going to have voice-to-voice technology to help us do that. This book has been written on the premise that a good real-time voice-to-voice conversation is, and is going to remain, a primary selling tool in the professional salesperson's arsenal. I'm all for using LinkedIn and other social media platforms to support your prospecting. They often provide great information you can use to add that personal touch to a voice-to-voice conversation. Let's look now at the first and probably most important principle for those who want to prospect, the Sandler Way. Chapter 1. Sandler Prospecting Principle Number 1. Relax. Of course, relaxing during prospecting discussions is, for many of us, much easier said than done. Yet this principle remains an important one. In fact, in a very real sense, relaxing is the governing principle of everything you will learn in this book. Every tool that David Sandler, the founder of our company, ever developed on the topic of prospecting was really designed to help you, as a salesperson, relax and be more effective during these initial discussions. Your biggest challenges. Let me ask you a question. Right now, what are the biggest challenges you face when it comes to prospecting? What is it about your current prospecting process that makes you tense up the minute you even think of these things? When we ask this question during training programs, these are the kinds of answers that come back. I get stopped at the gatekeeper. People don't return my messages. People say they're already happy with what they've got before I even tell them what I'm calling about. Or finally, people tell me to email them something or send information. Do any of those challenges ring a bell? Often, salespeople are tempted to assign these kinds of challenges to deficiencies in their calling scripts. They think that by revising the script, they can make these kinds of problems go away. but we believe that the script you're using is not the problem at all. In fact, all of the common challenges you just heard, getting stopped at the gatekeeper, not having your messages returned, being told that the person is happy already before you say the reason for your call, and being told to send information, have far more to do with us than with our script. These kinds of challenges are very likely to connect to a certain hard-to-define something that the other person hears in our speech patterns. This something lies beneath the script and gives the person we're talking to pause, and we probably wouldn't even notice it ourselves unless we listened to a recording of the prospecting conversation and analyzed it very carefully. This something is called a tell. A tell is a subconscious or semi-conscious verbal or nonverbal signal we send to the other person that we are nervous, stressed, fearful, or otherwise insecure about the exchange in which we are involved. These signals and their accompanying tonalities are what actually cause the vast majority of prospective buyers to bail on discussions with us. Tells are the prospecting equivalent of that doorstep suitor's trembling hands and clenched jaw. Here's the bad news. To get rid of tells, we need to do more than change our script. We actually have to change the way we think about ourselves. Here's the good news. David Sandler's selling system makes it easier to change the way we think about ourselves than we may have expected. Up to you. Don't worry. What follows is not offered as a self-help book. Helping you in any other area of your life besides prospecting is simply an added bonus. That's true of the entire Sandler system, not just the prospecting strategies you'll be listening about here. The Sandler principles are powerful selling tools and, coincidentally, tools that can help you in your larger life. We only emphasize the improvement in sales performance, which is the proven outcome we have delivered across all industries. What you do with these principles and any other area of your life is up to you. When it comes to prospecting, it's up to you to be yourself. No one else can do that for you. Most salespeople are incapable of relaxing and being themselves during prospecting calls, and that means they lose countless opportunities needlessly. Being yourself is, believe it or not, the biggest prospecting challenge of them all, and the one that, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to avoid. Perhaps that doesn't sound like a lofty enough goal for a book like this. I can assure you, though, that it's a very ambitious goal. Relaxing and being yourself during a prospecting discussion sounds like it should be relatively easy to do. But for most people, it proves incredibly difficult in the moment. To illustrate the real-life dimensions of that challenge, let's look at the single most common complaint that we hear. I get stopped at the gatekeeper. In my experience, this is nearly universal among salespeople, which is absolutely astonishing when you realize that most gatekeepers have a very simple purpose in life, namely, to ask three simple questions, all of which we could prepare for ahead of time. Take a listen. By the way, the words that I emphasize are the tells. Gatekeeper. Joe Smith's office. This is Jan speaking. Salesperson. Yeah. I was wondering whether Joe is in. Gatekeeper. May I ask who's calling? That's the first question. Salesperson. This is Bill. Gatekeeper. And your company? That's the second question. Salesperson. Acme Training. Gatekeeper. Bill, will he know what this is about? That's the third question. It may also be phrased as, to what is this in regard? Salesperson. We've all done this. Now we are effectively trapped. We're slipping down the drain. Again, all that's happened is that the gatekeeper has asked three questions that we could have and should have predicted ahead of time and prepared for ahead of time. So, what's going on here? This is not even a conversation. It's a pattern of conditioned responses on both sides. This is Pavlov's dogs all over again. And guess what? The conditioned responses started swinging into action thanks to our tells, which we did not script. It's what happened in between the words that kept us on the doorstep, wringing our hands and staring at a slammed door. To find out how those tells got into that brief, fateful exchange without our meaning them to find out what they told the gatekeeper about how the call had to end, and to find out how we can begin the relatively simple process of getting rid of the tells once and for all, so we can finally relax and be ourselves during these calls, keep listening. The smell of fear. You just saw an extremely common crash-and-burn scenario involving an exchange between a salesperson and a receptionist. Now, if you've ever heard any other books on prospecting, or taken a prospecting course from someone besides Sandler, you may have expected to see something simple that you could memorize, something that would fix this type of obstacle for you by giving you a sequence of right words to say. You may have expected some pre-written dialogue that you could simply post on your cubicle, consult, and repeat each and every time you connected with a receptionist. In fact, my guess is that when you heard that I did not plan to build this book around the principle of memorizing such dialogues word for word, and then reciting them to people, you felt just a little let down. Don't feel that way. Feel relieved. When it comes to prospecting, memorizing things ahead of time is usually part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's because reality is just too complicated to follow a pre-memorized pattern, especially during a sales discussion. There is a place for familiar phrases and openings that make you feel good about calling people, of course. Before we can talk about that, though, we have to talk about priorities. The good news is that if you're looking for help with that call to the receptionist, or with any other call, you can now relax. You're about to get clear on your priorities. Later on in the book, I'll be giving you the guidelines that will allow you to maintain the momentum you need during prospecting discussions, and eventually I'll be sharing a sequence of familiar topics that will be authentic to who you are as a person, that will require virtually no effort to deliver, and that will be flexible and adaptable. But this won't be a script. It will be you. The smell problem. In order for you to take full advantage of you during prospecting calls, we will have to do a little coaching first. We'll have to make some commitments to each other. We'll have to be willing to change much more than the words you're saying. We will have to change the way you smell. No, I am not kidding. When you get right down to it, this is not a script problem, it's a smell problem. That's because once the receptionist or anyone else you talk to during the prospecting call smells fear from your side of the conversation, what you have memorized does not matter. Would you like to know what really happened during that call to the receptionist? Those tells, the etc., sent a powerful signal to that receptionist. Those tells told the receptionist that we were uncertain and fearful about the call we were making. The moment we delivered them, we stank of fear. That smell of fear set off a conditioned response deep within the receptionist's nervous system, which was, keep this person from getting through. That response didn't make the receptionist a bad person. It just made the receptionist someone who was doing her job. That's half of what a good gatekeeper is paid to do, after all. Keep the wrong people out. The other half of the receptionist's responsibility, the half we'll be making use of in a later chapter, is just as challenging, which is, let the right people in. And sometimes that's a tricky business, figuring out who does and doesn't deserve to get through. Over the weeks, months, and years that gatekeeper has been on the job, though, a system of instant classification has proved remarkably helpful and accurate for her. It sounds like this. P People who sound uncertain or fearful over the phone are usually people who need to be kept out. Now, let's look at how the receptionist went into autopilot mode in direct response to the smell of fear. She started asking questions. These questions almost sounded like a parent questioning a child. Who's calling? What is this regarding? And so on. She has learned to use that tone of voice for one simple reason. It works. Now, if you stop to think about it, you'll realize that the receptionist's tone of voice is close or maybe even identical to the one your mom or dad may have used years ago to ask you questions like, "Where are you going? Why don't you put your coat on?" Or, "When are you going to be back?" Before you start resenting the receptionist for taking that paternal tone with you, consider this. You told her to take that tone. Believe it. In the opening few seconds of that call, those tells not only filled little gaps in the conversation, but also sent a silent message to the receptionist. They told her you did not consider yourself to be an okay person and were looking for approval, validation, and support from other people in order to be okay. That's what set off the smell of fear. Are you okay? Whether they realize it or not, most salespeople do not consider themselves okay and are looking for approval from others. They have failed to internalize a principle that is much, much more important than the words of a script, which is, the sales process is not where you want to get your emotional needs met. Years ago, when I was beginning to master the Sandler Selling System methodology, I had the honor and the privilege of working directly with David Sandler as my personal instructor. I was still hung up on the idea of memorizing a script that would generate my appointments. I wanted a set of magic words I could say into the telephone. I wanted the words that would reliably deliver the 10 appointments a week that Sandler and I had figured out that I needed. And I felt like I had a great script. Now, before I even started calling to set appointments, Sandler had shared a lot of ideas with me about what seemed, at the time, like touchy-feely stuff. I fast-forwarded over all that mumbo-jumbo, finalized my calling script, and started dialing. A week later, I had to call Sandler and say, "Dave, I've got a problem with my numbers." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, back in grade school, they told me that you can't divide by zero. So that means I can't tell you how many dials I'm going to have to make in order to get 10 appointments a week. I made 150 dials this week, and I got zero appointments. If I had gotten one appointment, I could have told you that it would take me 1,500 dials a week to hit my target. But I've got zero, so I can't tell you anything, except that I think I'm going to have to change my script." Like the great teacher he was, Sandler patiently suggested that I might want to think about changing some other things first. He said that we had something much more important to work on than rewriting my script. I had to change the interpersonal dynamic that was causing me to slip into a black hole on my calls. At some level, I was seeking approval during the call. Without realizing it, I was looking to get my emotional needs met in my prospecting calls, and I was falling into that black hole over and over again. No script, he assured me, was going to turn that black hole dynamic around. I could have had the greatest script in the world, but if the transaction I was engaging in with the people I was calling stayed the same, then the results would be the same too. If I could understand myself and why I was calling people, he promised, I could turn the cycle around. And that had to change first. Then he started talking about all that touchy-feely stuff all over again, this time more carefully. What choice did I have? I was batting zero for 150. Once I actually started paying attention, I began to see areas where I could make some simple changes. What Sandler shared with me during those coaching sessions changed my career and my life. If the concepts that David Sandler shared with me could turn around my abysmal numbers, and they did.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?